That's better.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to be with you this morning
here at the chapel and also out there in Zoom land. I have a young man beside me, and we're going to share the pulpit, and he's going to introduce himself, and maybe he could tell us a little bit about himself. I don't know. We didn't practice that part, did we?
Not really.
Would you like to just speak and tell him who you are and so on?
All right. Hello, everyone. My name's Issa, and I've been a member of this church for a while now, about 5 years. And I'm very excited to speak today.
Yes, and he keeps on moving away. Well, I've had my bullpack vaccine, and I do have my mask. But I haven't seen them for a long time. Fantastic. We're going to have a great time today, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to, oh, yeah. I like that. So with our techie back there will help me share the screen. We'll put the PowerPoint up, which we're going to enjoy together. And here we go just here and here. Looks like we're ready to go.
All right.
Well, this morning we're going to be talking together about the whole armor of God. And it's great to be together, and it's great to have a young man beside me. He's leaving me again. That's okay. That's the way it was planned. I'm giving him a bad time. Anyway, it's great to be here, and it's great to talk on this particular subject. Now, and you know, the Bible talks a lot about the armor of God, you know, in our culture today, and also in what is referred to as the pulp culture, the literature culture, it's very interesting that there's many swords mentioned. For instance, before my time, King Arthur, without his sword, Excalibur, he would have been nothing. And then if we go to my time, Zorro, remember Zorro? Anybody remember Zorro? Yes. Can you imagine him without his sword? And it was called Rapper. And then there was, who was the other fella? Come on up here. And come on. Who is this fella?
A Jedi Knight with a lightsaber.
What is that? What's a lightsaber?
It's from Star Wars. It's one of the weapons.
That must be more modern than I like Zorro better. Do you know Zorro?
I do know Zorro, yes. But I think I like Star Wars better.
Okay, well, you can sit down then. Yeah, you know, these young guys. But can you imagine these people without their swords? I love Zorro, you know. I mean, that was exciting. No? Some of you, I see some of you nodding. And out there in Zoom land, let me look. Nobody's got them. No, I can't see there. But, you know, can you imagine a Christian without his sword? That's what we're going to be talking about later on. It's unimaginable to be in this world without the whole armor of God. And that's the problem today, that in many places in this world, they don't have the word of God like we do. They have maybe a sheet of the Bible, and that's all they have. But we are so privileged, and yet we don't take advantage of that. You know, we're going to be talking about exactly this particular place in Ephesus. And it's very interesting, the whole story that Paul is writing to the Christians, to the people in Ephesus. And you know, the Bible is the supreme weapon that God has given to Christians. The word of God. It is the one weapon that is both, and we're going to be referring to this quite often, it's a defensive weapon and it's a offensive weapon. And it's what we're going to be looking and studying at, and also we'll be talking about something else that is exciting. But before we get there, let's look a little bit at Ephesus. And let's just look at this slide up there now. And we'll understand exactly a little bit more. You know, this was one of the most important cities in Asia Minor. It was like Vancouver. I mean, Vancouver, can you imagine all the boats that come into Vancouver and all the people that come to Vancouver when they're flying from one place to another place to come to our international airport? Well, Ephesus was one of the most important cities in Asia. It ranked up with Rome and Corinth in fame and population. And it was on the major trade route on the eastern province. It was a large harbor like we have here. And of course, they had the famous temple to Diana. It was an important city. So here's Paul, concerned about what is happening in... I wonder where Paul was when he wrote that. Let's turn together, please. Let's turn together to Ephesians chapter 6. And our dear brother is going to read it to us. Follow along in your Bibles there where you're sitting or at home. But if you don't have your Bible, if you don't have one close to you, take a look up there and he's going to read it to us.
All right. So Ephesians, can you hear me properly? So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against the evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, verse 13, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. Verse 16. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Verse 19, and pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. To bring you up to date, Tychicus will give you a full report about what I'm doing and how I am getting along. He's a beloved brother and faithful helper in the Lord's work. Verse 22, I have sent him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we are doing and to encourage you. Peace be with you, dear brothers and sisters, and may God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you love with faithfulness. May God's grace be eternally upon all who love our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for that excellent reading of the Word of God. And I know, because it's biblical what I'm going to say, God will bless the reading of his scriptures publicly. Shall we just pray one more time? Heavenly Father, we need your help this morning. We need the Holy Spirit to work through your two servants. We need your help to clear our minds, to take our nervousness away from us, to help us to read right and to talk right. And Lord, you can do it. You can take our fumbling words, Heavenly Father. You can take our mannerisms and use them for your honor and glory. So we just ask as we look into these defense weapons and offensive weapons and the whole armor of God, that you will help us and that we will be challenged, each one out there in Zoom land and everybody here at Parkcrest, that you will challenge us, Heavenly Father, to do better for you. We ask this in the precious name of our Lord. Amen. What a wonderful subject. Now, there's many pieces to the armor of God. There's six, as a matter of fact, and you can see them up there on the screen. Now, what we have decided to do today, because there's six, and if my math is right, you help me if my math is wrong. If there's six and we have 30 minutes, that means 5 minutes each, right? Six. Well, we really can't do justice to that if we take six of them and spend 5 minutes on each of them. So what we've decided to do is to speak on just two of them. And if my math is right, if we have 30 minutes, we spend talk about two of them. We have 15 minutes each. Good. Okay. Everybody's nodding their head here. My math isn't that good. So what we've decided to do really is to talk about, of course, a spiritual warfare. But later on, I'm going to talk about the sword of the spirit. Yeah, I think it's the most important, isn't it? No, no, they're all important. Good. Yeah, he's not agreeing with me. That's good. So I'm going to be speaking on the sword of the spirit, and our young brother is going to be speaking on the belt of truth. So we'll call upon him now, and he's going to share with us about the belt of truth. So follow along in the Bible, please.
All right. All right, so I think most of you here know me, and I just want to start by thanking God for blessing me with 16 years so far. And in those 16 years that I've had, that I've been blessed to have, I've learned pretty valuable lessons, some the hard way, and I'm assuming you have too. And for me, one of the biggest ones was how to maintain strong friendships and relationships. And I found that a way to do that properly is to maintain trust, because a relationship that is not a trust relationship is not really a relationship. And one of the ways that we can maintain that trust is by proclaiming the truth to our friends and to everyone around us. And this idea can actually be applied to a relationship with God. Because by trusting our commander, by telling him the truth, though we can't hide anything from him, we are able to keep a relationship that is really important to us. Is it on this one? Okay. No. All right. So we can see on the slideshow, two of the points that I found were really important in truth. So we need truth to maintain strong relationship with both God and others, and to defeat the devil's greatest weapon, which is deception. I'll talk more about that later. So I just want to start with some context. And I know in the past few weeks, we've really discussed the context of Paul's writing this letter to the Ephesians. But when he was writing that letter in prison, he was surrounded by guards. And they were all wearing an armor that is probably very similar to the one that he described in his letter. The only difference between the two are that the ones that Christians are called to wear has a much more divine purpose. So that armor has one very, very important element, which I think is the most important. and that is the belt of truth. In a Roman armor, the belt was much more than the belt that I'm wearing today, which is just a standard belt, which has a very, you know, not very important function. But their belts were really important because it not only protected vital organs, and it also held everything together. So the breastplate and the sword, they were all held together by the belt. And that is actually a great way to put the truth in our, that's a great analogy for where we should put the truth in our lives. It should not be a superficial thing. It should be the center of our truth, of our lives. It should, everything that we do should have truth at the center of it. So now I wanted to talk more about deception earlier, and I think that, don't worry, if you don't know much about deception, I'll explain it. I didn't really understand it really well. So in psychology, there is something called Dunning-Kruger effect, and it's an effect that can be applied to driving mostly, but we can see it in many other different areas of our lives. So I've worked with a lot of people where when I'm in their car and they're driving, they tend to insult other people on the road. They tend to be the best person on the road. And I think we've all met that person. Either we've been insulted by that person or we are that person. And these people, when they take you can get them to take a test, and they're very likely to rank themselves much higher in their driving skills than they actually are. And but when you see them driving, they're extremely confident, and they tend to call everyone idiots and, you know, people that can't drive. And that actually is to show that people can be deceived really easily. And this effect is to show that this effect is defined by having a false sense of what we know how to do. If I think I can draw, if I'm affected by that disease, that human disease, I will be much, much more confident than I actually should be. So I found three ways that Satan deceives us. So we can see them up here. He deceives us about the condition of our soul, the causes of our situations, and the consequences of our sins. The causes of our situations, we actually tend to blame others. We tend to blame for why we're here. We never take full responsibility for why we're here, and it makes us feel better. Saying that, oh, it was the transit's fault for being late at school today, I'm not taking full responsibility for not waking up on time. He also deceives us about the consequences of our sin. I don't know if any of you have ever worked recently in a paid by the hour environment, but they have apps on your phone where you enter the hours that you've done in the day. And many people tend to add in an extra hour, and they never realize the consequences of their sin, because you're lying, but it's a multi-million dollar company. Why would they care about a worker getting $40 extra that day? And it's people, a lot of people tend to go down that rabbit hole because they blame it on others. They're like, oh, well, others do it, so why shouldn't I be able to do it? And my mom tells me often that, you know, when I go to work or when my dad goes to work, it's important that we work for God, that we do what we do in our lives for God. I shouldn't work for my boss. Like, I shouldn't do a good job when my boss will check it. I should do a good job every time. I should do a good job everywhere in my life. And I think it's pretty important. And lastly, it's the condition of our soul. We often don't realize how bad we are. And just like the cause of our situation, we tend to overlook it. And I found a verse, Proverbs 16, 1. And I think it was hilarious because it was just the perfect verse for this message. And it was, all a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord only. And I think that I think it's really important that we keep the truth as the one thing that we want in our life and on our lives, and we shouldn't aim for anything else.
So are you saying when I'm shopping, mm-hmm. and I go in the vegetable, the fruit area, and there's all these beautiful grapes there. Are you saying that I can't take one or two of those grapes just to taste it?
I think, yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
But it's only one or two.
But if everyone takes them.
Okay. Well, that's up. Thank you. Wow. That's a deception. Very good. Satan is so real. So we've got to put that belt of truth on. You know, belt of truth, you know, we in Argentina, we have a belt too. And this is what we use in Argentina. This is a what is called a gaucho belt. And it's not as important as we just heard, but we use this belt, and it does hold everything together. At least it holds the stomach in, but it puts it together, as you can see. Isn't that nice? That's a special belt. Protects the important part of your body. We're going to talk about the sword. And I must admit that I have mine. And this is the sword we have. That's what a gaucho uses, see? And we use this sword for protection. This particular one is for protection. And it's sharp. You could raise, you know, cut that hair right in half. It's so sharp. And it's very important. Now, the sword, that's what we're going to be talking about now. We're going to be talking about the sword of the spirit. So the gauchos wear this in the back, believe it or not, on a 45 degree angle. And make sure that, and that's what they wear. So we gauchos, we ride our horses with our belt on and with our a sword. And so we're going to be talking about that sword now, the sword of the spirit. Now, what is Paul talking about here? Well, first of all, we're going to see the whole story of this. It's they have two swords, as I said. They have a long one, like Zorro had. Yeah. That was used for offensive in fighting against your battle, your enemy in a battle. And the short one, is used to defend in close quarters. You need to just get it out quickly. And the word it uses in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7 is mashera, meaning small sword, knife, or dagger. Now, I hope you all have your dagger. Now, I always carry my sword with me, but not during the whole day. I don't always carry my sword. This is my Bible. This is my Bible. But, you know, I do carry always my dagger. I hope you all carry your dagger with you. This is the most important thing that you can have in your pocket. Your wallet's important, but this is really more important. And I encourage you to get a New Testament or a Gospel of John, something of that nature, and just use it. Now, I don't carry this as much as I used to because I have my dagger here on my phone. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But for years and years and years, I carried this because it was to defend me when I was on the bus recently in the last 10 or 15 years on the SkyTrain. I would use it many, many, many times, the sword of the Spirit, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So important, so important. And we need to consider this morning. And I hope you get what we're planting here is the idea and the importance of saturating your mind with the word of God, filling your mind with the word of God, impregnating your mind with the word of God. It's so important. It's so important. You know, the word of God says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the divine, the division of the soul and the spirit, of joint and of marrows, and discerning the thoughts and intent of the heart. The word of God is razor sharp. I have a double-bladed axe, and you could shave with both ends of it. And people say, "Well, why do you have a double-headed axe?" Have you ever seen them? Yeah, you've seen them, sure. It's double-headed. Well, I always tell people when one gets too hot, I use the other one, but that's not true. But you know, it's sharp and it's double-edged. But the word of God is, as it says in the word, is razor sharp and a sharp penetrating instrument. It's able to discern and to divide and to dis- distinguish between good and evil, light and dark, truth and error, wisdom and folly, the spirit and the flesh. The Word of God does exactly that. You know, the Word of God, a lot of people don't like to read the Word of God, and because, you know, we say in Spanish, picante, it's, you know, ooh, that, you know, you're reading a passage and, you know, it's saying I shouldn't have done that. Or it's in reading a passage, well, I shouldn't have really gone there. Or really reading a passage, I shouldn't have bought that. See, this is practical theology. You don't have to be a graduate of Regent College to realize that this book is the most important book in the world. And we could go into how many have been sold and all those kind of things, but we won't at the present time. Now, the Bible says here, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. I've spoken on this many times. I've never spoken this message. It's a message prepared for Parkcrest. But I've spoken on this subject before, and I can remember when I was younger, I would always have a coat on, of course. And sometimes when I'm preaching, I would take my coat off and throw it on the ground. I'd say, come on, Satan. Come on, Satan. And, you know, but it's not that type of a warfare. Well, not that type of warfare. It's a spiritual warfare. I can't do it by myself. I ain't good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. But the Bible says I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So I encourage you to read the Bible, to study the Word of God. Yes, the weapons of spiritual warfare, the Spirit of God is real. He's with us. He's there to animate us, to help us, to push us, to just be with us. He's my a lawyer, they call him sometimes, an abogat. He's my helper. And this is my manual. Now, I hear you're trying to learn the guitar. Yeah. Do you have a type of manual or a book?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. And, you know, when I bought my iPad, I read the manual. Yeah. I'm not a very good at reading manuals. I'd rather do it than if I'm in trouble, read the manuals. But I read the manuals. Well, this is our manual. This is our manual. How we should live, what we should do, where we should go, how should we do it, what friends we should have. This is our manual. It's a weapon, but it's also a manual. It says in 16 and 17, above all, take the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. You know, I think the best example, when we think of the sword of the Spirit, Paul is not suggesting that the Spirit is given to us by the Holy Spirit. It's given to us by God. God gave it to us. God gave us the Holy Spirit. You know, and that's so important. And God gave us the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit to help us, which we don't talk too much about. But the Word of God, it says, all scriptures inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The importance of the Word of God. The importance of the Word of God. I think the best example in the Bible is about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's look a little bit at his example. You know, he was tempted like nobody was ever tempted. I'm telling you, he was really tempted. And it says in Matthew chapter 4, turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to look at it a little bit. And just follow along with me in chapter 4, whatever Bible you have there, whatever translation. And let's see, it says here, and the tempter, that was Satan, came and said to him, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. I love what Jesus says. He says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him into a higher city, the holy city, and had him stand on the temple. Now look what happens here. Look at verse 6, please. This is beautiful. See, Jesus uses the scriptures. He uses the Old Testament. He doesn't try to use any philosophy or psychology or any of the great writers of his time. Jesus used the scripture. And he said to them, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. It is written. See, the devil knew what was written. The devil knew. Look at that. He will command his angels concerning you. The devil knew. The devil knew the scriptures. On the other hand, they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against. And Jesus says, on the other hand, it is written. It is written, you should not put the Lord your God to a test. Now that's pretty exciting, don't you think so? If Jesus used the scripture three times, three temptations, three scriptures, and he's quoting from the Old Testament too, the importance of both the Old and the New Testament. Then let's carry on very quickly to verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I give you, if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, afuera, afuera, get out of here. Va-t'en, allez-vous-en, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. Do you see the teachings in this little passage of scripture? Satan knew the scriptures, because when Satan quotes the scripture, it's so prevalent, so important. Do you know the scripture? When Satan comes against you, can you combat Satan? If we don't know the scriptures, we can't defend ourselves. We'll just... When those people come to your door and they're teaching false doctrines, and if you don't know what the truth... You know, I love what Steve Biggs, he was a great preacher in his time, and he was a banker, and he taught his workers not to study false currency. No. Now, Steve Biggs is Harold Summers' wife's, went to the 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel. And he would teach people not to study a false $100 bill. He taught his workers to study the real $100 bill. So when that false comes in, you take the false $100 bill and you put it beside the real, and you see the difference. Are you with me? So if we know the truth and we are attacked by Satan, we can overcome by Satan by the word of God, even though we might not know all. I don't know all about these people who knock on our doors. I don't know about those two good-looking young men with a white shirt, short sleeve. That's why I wear a blue one, not a white one, because I don't want to miss. Anyway, but I wear a tie like they do. And they have a little badge here. And they're two by twos. They walk all over the place. And they're talking about false doctrines. I don't know all about them, but when they come to my door, I just say, you know, it says here, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And they say to me this, that, and the other thing. I just go back to scripture. It says, for we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should. And I just go back to scripture. So important to know the scriptures. Let's take a quick review. First of all, there is a devil. I know the world out there said there's no devil. It's all in your mind. It's something invented to make people feel bad. But you and I know The devil exists. The devil is at war against anyone who follows Jesus. We know that. He's attacking us all the time, one way or another. We are given power and authority over the devil as we take up the armor of God. I encourage you to take up the armor of God. When the devil attacks with his lies and temptation, we counterattack with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Your words can become a weapon that cuts through the attack of the enemy to pierce, tear, and share apart his life. Do you remember the passage? I love the passage in Psalm 119, verse 11. He said, "Your word have I treasured up or stored up in my heart that I might not sin against you." Yes, we have to store up the word of God in us. We have to try to memorize. I know it's hard, especially at my age. I find it harder all the time to keep memorizing. But we have to try to memorize the word of God. Now, a little personal testimony along these lines to encourage you. Two weeks ago, I was had a three-hour interview. A fellow flew out from Guelph, Ontario, and they did an interview. 3 hours. And why he was interviewing me, because in many papers, this has appeared. Now, I have been what referred to as a Gideon, a voluntary Gideon who places Bibles in hotels and motels and so on for 50 years. And I've given 250,000 in the Belle Province of Quebec. And anyway, this picture, so they saw this picture, so they wanted to know. And they said, "But Ron, why have you stuck with the Gideons so many years?" That was one of the many questions in 3 hours. Well, I said to them, because the Word of God tells me very distinctly that it is the same with my word. I send it out and always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. So every time you give out a tract, every time you give out a Gospel of John, every time you tell somebody about Jesus, it's going to accomplish. It's a win-win situation. We can't lose, but we are losing. Why? Because we're not doing nothing. Yeah, nada, nothing, nothing. We're not doing it. We've got to do it. You've got beautiful tracts back there. You've got beautiful literature back there. Let's use it. Let's use it. Yes, God had called my wife and I to be with the Gideons, and it all started with this. All started with this. Now, this is the actual Bible here. Now, it's all ripped up probably because I threw it at my brother when we were fighting, but it looks impressive. But you know what I mean? I got this was my grade 5 at school, and I cherished it. I loved it. I used it over and over and over. But then what happened? Well, I was 10 years old. I went up to camp, Anvil Island Bible Camp. And I started doing Daybreak Point Bible Camp Emmaus courses. Wow. I used my little New Testament and I would answer all the questions. And I continued. I did 40 correspondence courses, not with Anvil Island, but they started me. Daybreak Point Bible Camp started me studying the Bible back 57, is it? I can't read it, but back then, I believe, 57, I believe. And since then, even though I have been in many problematic situations of going to about 8 different schools, having 2 fathers and 4 mothers, moving here, moving there, finally being dyslexic, but all these kind of things, God, in his grace, and this, I'm not bragging. The only reason I'm telling you this is because I was 52 years old when I graduated from theological college. And the thing about it is because of this, because the word of God, what does it say here? The word of God, what?
For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
That is so important. So important. Yes, 50 years of giving out the Bible. But it's so important because the word of God is so, so useful.
All right.
Yeah.
Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path.
It's like a flashlight.
Oh, yeah.
But I have a flashlight on my phone. Do you have a flashlight on your phone? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, you got one here. Yeah. You have a flashlight? Yeah. So that, but the Bible's a flashlight. So when I want to know where to go, and I'm in the dark, I don't know where to go, I get out my flashlight and I say, Lord, should I really go there? Should I really do that? Oh, wow. Yeah, look. Sorry, I'm interrupting him. He was reading.
That's Psalm 119 and 105. That's Psalm 119.
I confused 7. You, didn't I?
Sort of. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair, and they are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They're sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They're a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them.
Wow. I like honey on my toast in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But I love honey when I'm reading my devotions in the morning, too. You know, I can't even pick up one of those boxes anymore. But these are just encouraging pictures for you. For years and years, I would fill up my car with Bibles and New Testaments, and I would travel hundreds of kilometers, placing them in hotels and motels. Why? Because I believe the Word of God. I think it's the cat's meow. It's better than nice warm muffins. That's not a very good comparison, is it? No. But you understand what I'm trying to say. Yes, the Word of God is important. Look what the Word of God says.
Jeremiah 23:29. Does not my word burn like fire, says the Lord? Is it not like a mighty hammer that smashes a rock to pieces?
Wow. How about Psalm 119:14?
I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches.
Wow. These are precious.
Psalm 119:24. Your laws please me. They give me wise advice.
Oh, I don't know. The law pleases me. I mean, it. I get convicted sometimes when I'm doing it. I'm driving down the street and I'm going 70 to 60. How can you say the law pleases me? It guides me. That's right. It guides me. Oh, wow. Look at this one here about the law.
Psalm 119:34. Give me understanding and I will obey your instructions. I will put them into practice with all my heart.
This is so important, really, when you think of it. You know, I like what Psalm 119:9-16 says.
How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget you, your word.
Wow. Wow. That's why I go to schools. I used to go to 38 schools in Burnaby. Now I go to schools, but mostly private schools, Catholic schools, and Protestant schools that will accept the Bible. Why? Because of that verse. Let's go back to that verse about young men. Yeah. What's the purpose?
How can a young man cleanse his way?
Oh, it's not for women. It's for men and women, for all of us, for our children. And that's why. That's why at Halloween. Oh, now I'm getting into deep waters. People tell me at Halloween, I'm to turn my lights off, turn all the lights off, shut the door, and go to the back of the house. I don't like Halloween. I think it's terrible. Excuse me, and I'll go on the record for that. But the little goblins come to my house anyway, and they say, Halloween handout, trick and treat. So here is 3 years, the last 3 or 4 years, I go there with the Bible. Wrapped up in a cellophane with a chocolate bar, good sized chocolate bar. I don't want them to think I'm a cheapie. And I give it to them. and they come back. That's why I give it to hospitals, because people are sick physically in the hospital. And I've been to most hospitals you've ever heard of in Vancouver, Lower Mainland, Northminster, Surrey, Richmond, all those places, and given out Bibles. Why? Because people are physically sick, but even more important, they need medicine for physical, spiritual sickness. That's why I've been to places like Thailand, Vietnam, Mexico, ESL programs. They just love those little bilingual Chinese, English, Chinese Bibles. How about the Philippines, Jamaica, Singapore, Argentina, Brazil? That's why. Because I believe when I go on ships, now I'm an old guy, I take things. I take Bibles out and I give them to all the people on the ships. Let me tell you an example. Can I tell them one more example? I think we've got another. We're over a minute. Can I take 2 minutes? Okay, good. Thanks. I got permission from a member of the church here. I'm not a member, but I'm traveling around the Baltics, and I've given out a few pamphlets, but everybody spoke, how do you say it, Tagalog? Philippine language.
Tagalog.
Tagalog. Anyway, I didn't have any Bibles. So we get off of one of the ports in one of the places in the Balkans, and I'm walking down hand in hand with my wife. I mean, we're pure tourists, you know, cameras around the neck and everything. And I see a seaman's fair, seaman's place. That means like we have here, we have Lighthouse Ministries. And so I walked in there and I walk in there and I said, hi, how are you? And the guy said, hi, how are you? And they talked English. They were somewhere up in the Baltic. And on the table, it was covered with
Tagalog.
I'm going like that. And anyway, I said to the guy, I said, you know, I'm a Gideon, and those are Gideons. He said, oh, you're Gideon, and we talked about the Gideon. I said, you know, I belong to Lighthouse Ministry. I'm on the board of directors. You're on the board of directors. I said, can I have some? Oh, I took them on the ship, and I gave out so many beautiful brown Tagalog New Testaments. Praise God. No, praise God, not me. Praise God. He provided them way back then, yes. Hospitals and so on is so important, you know. Let's tell you about this now. On your way out, you're going to see these. I think this is the best invention since sliced bread. And they're out in the back there. It's an app for your phone. And I've got lots of apps. And I think it is the best app that you can get. It's in all the languages. And if you've ever seen a Gideon Bible, you open up the Gideon Bible in the front of the Gideon Bible. You just where to find when you're discouraged, where to find when you're upset, where to find, and it gives the page and it gives you the passage in the Bible. And this app has all that in it. And you know, explore, look at that, isn't that nice? And it, explore faith, for instance, explore faith, setting notes, language, find it. It's the best one. I would encourage everyone here and online, get it online. You can just scan this little a bar up here, and it'll be fantastic. May God bless each and every one of you out there in Zoom land. And I trust, let's pray. Before we pray, the other thing about the sword, it's also, as I said, not just a defensive, but it's an offensive weapon. It is an offensive weapon. It uses not only to defend, but to attack. And I would encourage each and every one of my dear friends out there in Zoom land and hear this morning. It's still the morning. Yeah, we haven't gone over time. Good. Well, we could go over time. We ran after 12, but we got. So my dear brother is going to pray, and we're going to actually read a prayer. I know we don't do that in our assemblies very often, but if you can want to close your eyes and bow your heads, go ahead. If you want to look up at the screen or on your television or wherever you are right now, and we'll just close in a word of prayer and then just a couple of remarks, and that'll be it. Thank you.
All right. Lord, we need you. We need your word. We need the gospel. We need hope. We need grace, and we need forgiveness. We need assurance. We need strength for the battle. We need scripture in our minds and in our hearts, helping us in the heat of the moment, the heat of temptation. We need encouragement when we fail and when we fall and when we fail. We need the assurance of your grace that continues to pardon and forgive and to invite us back into your presence and into your fellowship. Most of all, we need Jesus himself. We need the word made flesh. Lord, I pray for those who do not know Christ, that in these moments you would give the divine gift, faith and repentance, and that you would draw them to the Savior. So be with us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I hope you've been challenged today, and I hope that I believe this meeting has been recorded. I believe if you check with Andrew after, he could give you the link. And I hope that you'll take one of these cards on your way out and take some of the literature and share the Word of God with people. They are open. After the pandemic, people are really open and ready to accept. So thank you for being with us. God bless you. And I'm going to turn it back to Andrew.